Okay, today's daf is Chul and Daf Samachay. We're coming to closer to the end of Perek Eilutreifus. And again, as we've seen, Perek Eilutreifus essentially covers two topics. One topic is Treifus, and the other topic that we've been discussing for a while now, even though I've been inconsistent in my attendance, but what we've been discussing for a while is the Simani Kashrus of various animals, birds, eggs, and the like, grasshoppers, etc. So we left off yesterday on Daf Samach Dalet and Beis read Amar Chizkia in the middle of the page. So Amar Chizkia, minayim the beitzas tmeya shi asura min haTorah. How do I know that the egg of a non-kosher bird is asur min haTorah? Shenemar, because the pasuk says ve'ez bas hayana. It refers to a certain type of bird as a bas hayana. V'chi bas yeshla liyana. Does this yana bird have a daughter that we dafka refer to as bas hayana? The Ramban writes in the name of Yesh Mefarshim that we would never refer to the offspring of a bird as a ben or a bas, because ofos are matilim beitzim, and they're not yoldim ofos. They don't actually give birth to another oaf. They lay an egg, and the egg hatches, and then a bird comes out. And therefore, you would never refer to it as a ben or a bas like you would by bakar and son. That's the anomaly that we're referring to, the bas hayana. That what are you talking about? By hayana, it's not even shaykh to say bas. There is no such thing as a bas to hayana. Ela ezuzu beitza tmeya. So it must be referring to a beitza tmeya. It must be referring to the egg of a non-kosher bird being non-kosher as well. That's the that must be what the reference is to. Now, so that is the source. The fact that the Torah refers to a bas hayana is the source for non-kosher eggs. So now, the Ibn Ezra and many others as well, the Balei HaTosfos, Daskin, Balei HaTosfos, others, all point out on that pasuk, and Maariz Chayis quotes it over here, that bas hayana, the fact that the Torah uses such a phrase, is because of a totally different reason. They explain the lahachi nakat bas hayana. Maariz Chayis says in the name of Dasakenim, lefi sheyana atzma asher ocheles avanim ubsara kasha kabarzel. The yana itself, the Torah doesn't have to tell me, is not kosher. The yana itself has terrible meat. The meat is hard. It's like a piece of wood. It's not edible at all. And because it's not edible, the Torah doesn't need to tell me that it's not kosher. Aval kshi ketana, but when it's very young, besararach, when you have the young female yanos, they have soft meat, and the meat is actually edible. That's why the Torah tells me that a bas hayana is aser. So frek the Maariz Chayis, if that's in fact the case, he says the whole basis of saying that the Beitza is Aser is based on the fact that we have a Kasha, the Chibas Yesh Lo Liyana. Why would the Torah use the term Basayana? Just say Yana. Why would it say Basayana? But says Maariz Chayis, according to the Daskein and Balei HaTosfos and the Ibn Ezra and all these other Mefarshim, there is a very good reason why it says Basayana. That's the only place where it actually needs to tell us that it's not kosher. The Yana itself is not even edible to even have the discussion in the first place. So the Chasam Sofer, Nechuvin, Yerodea, Simen Ayin Ches, asks the same Kasha as the Maariz Chayis, and he gives an answer. He suggests that had it said Yana Anastam in the Torah without the word bas, so we would have known that it's talking about the bas hayana. We would have known it's talking about the young bird, because after all, it's the only one that's roi lachila. So we would have known it's about the nekeva bialdusa, the female young bird. So mela, the fact that the Torah says bas is still extra. It didn't need to say bas. It's not that it's strange that it says bas, it's extra that it says bas. Meaning that you have to understand the Kasha of the Gemara a little differently. It's not that why would you talk about the bas hayana, it makes no sense to talk about the bas and not the yana. That's not the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's kasha is, why do you have to mention that the topic is bas hayana? Just mention yana, and we know that the only type of yana that's shayich is the bas hayana. So it's the fact that it's extra, not the fact that it's unusual, that it's strange. And the Chasam Sofer says, with this it's miyushav also, why the Torah says the Isser of Beitzim dafka by the yana, because one might have thought that since a beitzas yana comes from a zakena, which is already inedible, and its basar is already niskasha ke'etz, so one might have thought that it's not like a beitza of other non-kosher animals, where the beitza is coming from something that itself is not kosher. Since this is coming from something that's not roi lachilim, mele it's coming from something that's kosher, because the halacha is, any nevela sheina ruyel ger is lo kriya nevela, but a nevela ruyel ger Geras Kriya Nevela, something that's not Roy Lachila, by definition is kosher. That's the Gemara Darshan's and Maseches Avodah Zarah. That from the Pesukim, that any time something is not edible, by definition it's kosher. So one might have thought the egg, since it comes from an animal that's basar is ke'et, by definition should be kosher. That's why Dafka wants to highlight the Yisr of Beitzim, says Chassam Sofer, Dafka by the Yana. So anyway, but how do you know that you have a valid rush over here? Maybe that's just the name of the bird. Maybe it's not called, there's no such thing as a yana. It's called a basa yana. That's the name of the species. So it says, when lo sal kadai tachtachsiv, basa mila achzar ki ya'anim bamidbar. Pasuk specifically refers to ki ya'anim, that it's like the ya'anim. Doesn't say like basa ya'anim. So frankly, more of a lo vaksiv, Esa mispeit kisanim the evel kibnos yaana that the pasuk over here refers to that Akharosh Baruch Hu saying make an evel a mourning kibnos yaana like binos yaana. Now if it's only a reference to beitzim, if bas yaana just means the eggs, so what does that mean kibnos yaana that there's going to be an evel like binos yaana? There's no avelus for binos yaana, meaning we're trying to say that the same way the Benosiana wail as if they're in Avelus, so that's the kind of Avelus there's going to be. An egg doesn't have a mouth, it doesn't speak, it doesn't cry at all. So Kiyana Zusha Mesabel Salbanel. So the Gemara says, no, that means that Kiyana Zusha Mesabel Salbanel, like the Yana bird, which is Misabel on its offspring. But that's what the pasuk means. So frankly, Gemara Vaksiv Vishaknu Sham Benos Yana. We have another pasuk that says again Benos Yana Vishaknu Sham that they reside there. The Benos Yana eggs don't reside anywhere. So Kiyana Zusha Shachena Simbane. So again, it refers to not the eggs themselves, but the mother bird that resides with the offspring. Vaksiv Tichpadeni Chayas Hasada. Tanim ubnos yana, but the pasuk says that they will give me kavod and include who's going to give me kavod, the tanim, which are jackals, and the bnos yana. So again, how could it be referring to eggs? Eggs can't give kavod. So v'isal gadaitach beitza bas meimer shirehi. The Gemara spells out the question over here. If it's talking about a beitza, is a beitza capable of saying shira? Doesn't make any sense that it should be referring to a beitza. A beitza can't say shira. Eliksiv hayana. Uksiv basayana. So what you have to say is sometimes it says yana, sometimes it says basayana. Vishaini hacha the pasuk sifra l'shtei tevos. But over here, it's the fact that it divides it up into two words shows. I mean, the pasuk sifra. The fact that it divides it up into two words shows you that we're referring not to a type of bird that's called a basayana, which does exist, but rather we're talking about the beitza of the yana. So basayana is sometimes a reference to just a kind of bird, but that's when it's one long word, basayana. But when it's two separate words, bas, and then separately, hayana, so that's referring to the beitza. So, in fact, the Gemara, is that true? Is that a rule that whenever it's divided in two separate words, that means that it's not talking about one species, it's talking about the offspring of the one? Umi depasuklu safra betarti tevos shmamina tre shemos ninu. Is that really a rule that it's that by definition two different names? Elameata eskidar laomer depasuklu safra betray hachinami detarti shmeninu. When we say the name kidar laomer in our svarim, it's written in two separate words, or at least in the svarim of the Gemara, it's written in two separate words, and yet we know that it's only one name. So how can you say every time it's written two separate words, it's two separate names? Kedar Lomer is one of the Malachim in the battle of the four kings against the five kings, right? That's the whole pasuk. Melech Bimei Amraphel Melech Shinar Aryoch Melech Elmar Kedar LaOmer Melech Elam. Right? So you have the names of the four kings. Kedar LaOmer is one of them. So how are you going to say that it's two separate names? So Amri Hasam Shtei Tevos Pasuk Luhu B'Shnei Shitim Ma Pasuk Luhu Avlacha. Now there's a big difference between the division of the name Kedar LaOmer and the division of Basayana. Kedar LaOmer may be divided into two separate words, but it is not divided onto two separate lines of the Torah. You would never find that in a Sefer Torah. Basayana is so split up from each other that it would even be divided into two separate lines in the Sefer Torah. And that's why we assume that it's not one word. The Ran writes that over here we have a Raya Lagabe get that you're not posek shema ish v'shema isha b'shtei shitin, that you're not allowed to split the name on two separate lines. But b'shita achas, on a single line, it could be that you can split the name partially, because it's similar to Kedar LaOmer, where it's one name, you're allowed to split it, you're just not allowed to put it on separate lines. Now it happens to be, the Gemara's reference over here is to Kedar LaOmer, that in the Sifrei Torah, Kedar LaOmer is written separately, as two separate words, on the same line. In our Sifrei Torah, Kedar LaOmer happens to be written as one word on one line. So it is a little unusual. I mean, it happens sometimes that our Masorah of how to write the Sefer Torah actually is cholek on the Gemara. The Trumas HaDeshen in Ksavim Kuf Pei Ches writes that even when it comes to names that you could divide into two words that are dividable kinds of names, that like Yedidya, which according to the Gemara Pesachim Kuf Yudzayin Amud Aleph could be divided into two separate names, if you write them as one name, as one word, lo hifsid, you don't lose out. That's totally fine. And raya ledavar, the Trumas Deshen says, what's my raya? Bas Hayana, the Gemara says, without any cholek, you could divide into two separate rows, into two separate lines, not only into two separate words, but even into two separate lines. And the Trumas Deshen says, he's checked all the Sifrei Torah, he's checked Badak, B'tikun, Sifrei Torah, and Sefer Torah, not just in Tikuns, and Sifrei Torah Atzmam, he saw actual Sifrei Torah, and he saw that we always write Bas Hayana on one line. So he says, if you have such a thing that you're allowed to put it on two lines, and you write it on one line, it's okay. So it must be that when the Gemara says that you write it on two lines, it means you're allowed to write it on two lines, but not that you have to write it on two lines. So he says, Hu Adin, with a single word that you're allowed to divide into two, it must be that you're not chayiv to divide into two, you're allowed to divide it into two, and you can write it as one as well. So the Bir Agra finds this Trumas HaDeshen very troubling. And Ibn Ezra Kuf Chav Tes, Sivkat Nun Beis, the Bir Agra writes that how can you bring a raya from writing from words like Basayana, which can go on two different lines, to a word that definitely can't go on two lines because it's actually one word. He says there's no shaychus between the two words. So you have to say, the Gemara only wants to say that if you want to write b'shtei shuros, so you can write it b'shtei shuros if you want, because the Gemara is just telling us that they're two different words. But by a name which could be divided into two separate words, if you instead put it in one word, so that's like taking two separate words and putting them together. That you're not allowed to do, to make one word out of them. Meaning, when you have two separate words and you put them on two separate lines, that's a very clear indication that it's two separate words. But, you know, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer, the word Vayidaber and the word Hashem could be on the same line, and they're very clearly still two separate words. So just because you could take Bas Hayana and put it on the same line as two separate words, doesn't mean you could take a name that's supposed to be two separate words and put it together as one word. Putting it together as one word really ruins the whole thing and makes it a single word. So the Gra doesn't agree with this Raya of the Trumas HaDeshen. He says if the Trumas HaDeshen really wanted to bring a Raya to his idea that you could take a dividable name and write it as one, his Raya should have been from Kedar LaOmer. Because Kedar LaOmer, the Gemara says, is split, it's two separate words, and yet in all of our Sifrei Torah, Kedar LaOmer is one word. Kedar LaOmer comes altogether. So that would have been, if the Trumas HaDeshen really wanted a raya, that would have been the place where he should have looked for his raya, not from Bas Hayana. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Avalamru Chacham Kalov. So the Mishnah had told us the simanim of an oaf. So the Mishnah said that Amru Chacham Kalov Hadores is tame. Any oaf that's dores, that claws, is tame. If it has an etzba yisera, zefak, and korkavano niklaf, it's tahar. That was the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Tanyurim Gamliel Omer, dores va'ochel biyodu ashu tame. If it's dores and it eats in bedrisa, then you know that it's for sure tame. Yeshlo etzba yisera, meaning you know that it's for sure a non-kosher bird. Yeshlo etzba yisera, vizefek, v'korkavano niklaf. If it has an extra etzba, which again we saw machlokus in the Rishonim, what that means, either an etzba that sticks out on the other side, or an elongated etzba, and it has a crap, and its gizzard can be easily peeled, biyodu eshutar. Those are simanim that it's definitely kosher. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, motchin lo chut shel meshicha, that we spread out a string to see how the bird settles when it sits on the string. Im cholikas raglav shtayim lekan v'shtayim lekan, tamei. If it splits its feet, where it puts 2 feet on one, it splits its toes rather, where it puts 2 toes on one side of the string and 2 toes on the other side of the string, then it's for sure tamei. It's for sure a non-kosher bird. Shalosh lekan v'yachas lekan. Tahar. But if it puts 3 on one side of the string and 1 on the other side of the string, then it's tahar, then it's kosher. So what does that mean, then it's kosher? Rabbi Yeruchim is quoted in the Beis Yosef, where he just quotes the Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Tzaddik exactly word for word, and the Beis Yosef says that it sounds from Rabbi Yeruchim that an oaf that sits on a chut, shalosh lakan va'achas lakan, is becheskas tahar bevadai. It means that it's definitely a kosher bird, and that you could be somich on this simin to be matir l'chadchila. That's the Beis Yosef in Yerodea Simin Pei Beis, Kotzer Ben Yeruchim. But the Ra'a in his Chidushim writes that no, shtayim lakan, that would be a definitive sign that the bird is not kosher. But achas lakan v'shalosh lakan is not a definitive sign that it's kosher. It's not tame. It's just a sign that it's not tame bevadai. There is no definitive sign of non kosher, but it's also not tahar bevadai, because there are certain ofos tameim that do not split 2 and 2. They're the toes on 2 sides and 2 sides. There are certain ofos tameim that will also split 3 and 1. So it's not a definitive sign. So this is a machlokas rishonim. Rabbi Yeruchim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, seems to assume that and sounds pashut lashon the Gemara that it's a definitive sign of kashrus if it goes 3 and 1, whereas the Ra'a, and I think the Ran also, say that if it goes 3 and 1, it's not a definitive sign of kashrus. Rabbi Shimon Elozer Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elozer adds back in the Gemara, kol ov hakolet mina avir tamei. Any bird that grabs from the air is tamei. So what does it mean, grabs from the air? Rashi over here says that kolet mina avir, it doesn't allow it to fall on the ground before it swallows it. So it sounds like Rashi's understanding is that if you throw the food to the bird will grab it with its mouth before it hits the floor. That's that the bird will catch it in midair. But what's in midair? The food that you're throwing to the bird is in midair. That's Pashup Shad and Rashi. The Ra'a is Mefarishit. No, Kolit Mina Avir means the bird is in midair. That while it's in the middle of flying, it will grab things with its mouth while it's still while it's flying across the sky. As opposed to bird sitting on the ground and the food being thrown to it in midair. So those are two pshatim in how to understand that line of the Gemara. So frek the Gemara, but wait a second, si partinami miklat kolta, how can you say that anything that's kolit mina avir is by definition tame, a tzipartas kolit mina avir, and we know that that's kosher, it's not tame. What a tziparta is exactly, whether it's a specific type of bird or a generic term for kosher birds, but clearly the Gemara is saying tziparta is a reference to something kosher. Rashi says that it was a specific type of bird. Makirin hayu shi tahora v'zeh shma. Rashi says everyone knew what it was, and that was its name, that it was that's what it was called. I read the wrong Rashi before, by the way, with Hakolit Min Avir. I should have read the first Hakolit Min Avir, which is more clear. Shek shezorkin lo machal kolto l'toch piv u'mekablo min Avir. That when you throw it food, it grabs it by its mouth straight out of midair. It doesn't let it fall on the ground. That Rashi is much more explicit. The other Rashi I read is on the Gemara's answer to this question. So again, now the Gemara is asking, how can you say that anything that's kolit mina avir is tamei, a tziparta, which is a kosher bird, is also kolit mina avir? So answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye kolit va'ochel ka'amrinan. No, we say that it's tamei when it not only catches it, but it eats it right away. It swallows it before it puts it on the ground. I mean, it could be that a kosher bird, you throw it food, will catch it with its mouth, and then will put it on the ground and eat it. But a non-kosher bird will catch it and eat it immediately. So that's actually a discussion in the poskim. The Taz writes that a tarnugol is kolit mina avir, but it's not kolit va'ochel, it's manicho ala aretz. That's how the Taz writes about a tarnugol. So the Prima Gadim says that the Gemara only asks from a tziparta that's kolit mina avir. We don't find anywhere in the Gemara that a tarnugol is kolit mina avir. So Rabbeinu Yonas HaMilonil writes that some say tziparta is a tarnugolas. Because you see, tarnugolas, when they're flies flying around it will sometimes just catch the fly with its mouth, then kill it, put it on the ground, and eat it off the ground. So that would still be kosher. It's only if it catches it and eats it immediately while it catches it straight out of midair, that's when it would be non-kosher. So says the Gemara further now. Acherim omrim, shachin im tamei im torim tar. If you want to know if a bird is kosher or not, if it hangs out with other non-kosher birds, then it's a good bet that it's not kosher. If it's shachin, it resides together with kosher birds, then it's kosher. So says Gemara, keman ke Rabbi Eliezer. This is going just like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer on Shabbos' daf and daf samach beis. Detani Rabbi Eliezer omer lo luchinam halach zarzir etzel orev el neshu mino. Rabbi Eliezer says that a zarzir is non-kosher. How do I know that it's not kosher? It hangs out with the orev. So why is it always found around the orev? It must be that it's considered the same min as the orev. So the acherim who are telling us that which is shachinim tameim is tamei goes in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that the zarzir is not kosher, as evidenced by the fact that it's always with the orev. So answers the Gemara, no, you don't have to say that it's going only according to Rabbi Elazar. I feel tamer Rabbanan. Shachin v'nidma kamrinan. We could even be going like the Rabbanan. But maybe what he's saying is that it's not enough that it's shachin, that it resides together with the non-kosher birds, but also nidme, it's similar to the non-kosher birds. Major discussion in the Rishonim, similar in what way? That it looks similar, it acts similar. What exactly does that mean? But whatever it means, that's the criteria that Acherim are saying. And therefore, it could even be going like the Rabbanan, that when something is shachin and nidme, that's when to non-kosher birds, that's when you know that it's a non-kosher bird. Now, the Gemara's first way of understanding it, when we were locking it into the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, was that shachin alone is enough. And we're assuming that the Gemara's, if you only see Daf Samachay, it looks fine. That Rabbi Elazar must hold somewhere that a simon of a non-kosher bird is a bird that hangs out with other non-kosher birds, and that's all you need. That's the criteria, shachin. But if you actually look back at the Gemara, where Rabbi Eliezer says that the zarzir is not kosher, he doesn't just say, oh, it's shachin with the orev, and therefore it's not kosher. He says, no, by the orev, the Torah uses the word limino, or liminehu, I don't remember which one. But by the, so it has an extra word. And the Rabbi Eliezer says that's coming to be marbis something. That's coming to include something else, another type of bird. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what could that coming to be include? What could that be coming to include? What could limino, liminehu, by orev, be coming to include? What other type of bird is like an orev, and therefore not kosher? Oh, must be the zazir that's shachin in ma'orev. So what do you see? Rabbi Elazar doesn't say that any time you have a bird that's shachin with a tameh bird is automatically tameh, that it's automatically not kosher. That's not at all Rabbi Elazar's shita. Rabbi Elazar's shita is when there's a riboy in the pasuk to tell me that there's some other type of bird that's not kosher, one indication of knowing which bird that riboy is referring to is if it is shachin in ma'tameh. Totally different than what Acherim are saying. So that's the kasha the Achronim ask, that Tiferes Yaakov asks. How can you connect this shita of Acherim to Rabbi Eliezer? They're not saying the same thing at all. So the Tiferes Yaakov answers that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, other birds that are shochid im tameim are not necessarily tamei when there's no riboy in the pasuk. Right? Clearly that's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. But when you have a bird that you don't know its name, you don't know what its nature is, you don't know anything about the bird, if you see that it's amongst, it hangs out, it's shachin with tmeim, maybe Rabbi Elazar would hold that would be enough to declare it non-kosher. The reason Rabbi Elazar needed the extra riboy in the pasuk by orev to include the zarzir is because we know what a zarzir is, and we know that it's not an orev. It has a different name than an orev, and it's not exactly the same as an orev. That's why Rabbi Eliezer required both. He required a riboy in the pasuk, plus the fact that it's shochin. But if you have a bird that you're not sure if it's an independent min or it's the same min, it doesn't have a name that distinguishes it from the min tameh, then maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would hold being shochin together with the non-kosher bird would be enough. And Rabbi Eliezer, maybe that's the whole chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer, that even though the zarzir is not an orev, but since there's a riboy in the pasuk and it's shachin im orev, maybe that would be good enough. Now the pashpshan in this Gemara is that there's a machlokas chacham and Reb Lazar about a din of a zarzir, right? If you look back, Samach Beis and over here, that there's a machlokas Reb Lazar and the chacham about a din of a zarzir. Reb Lazar holds a zarzir is non-kosher because it's shochin in ma'orev, even though it's not doma to the orev. The fact that it lives together with the orev is enough to make it non-kosher. And the chacham would hold that a zarzir is kosher because it's not, the only time a bird would be not kosher is not only if it's shochin, but shachin v'nidme. You need both. That it be shachin and nidme. That's pasha pshat what the machlokas is. The difficulty is the Rambam. The Rambam machos asuras perek aleph halacha chaf paskins like the chachamim that it dafka has to be shachin v'nidme to be a problem. If it's only shachin, it's not necessarily tamei. It has to be both shachin and nidme with tameim in order to be a problem. And yet the Rambam in that very same perek in Hilchos Machalos Asuros a few halachos earlier, halacha yudalid paskins that a zarzir is an of tamei. Now, if the whole svara of Reb Lazar to say zarzir is an of tamei is because you only need shachin, and if you hold you need shachin and nidme like the chachamim do, then a zarzir would be tahar. How could the Rambam paskin that a zarzir is tamei is an of tamei and hold that you need shachin and nidme? That's the kasha, the kesef mishnah on that Rambam, and the kesef mishnah's mitarates that according to the Rambam you have to understand the machlokas a little bit differently. According to the Rambam, there is no machlokas between Reb Lazar and the Chachamim, whether a zarzir is a kosher bird or not a kosher bird. Everyone would agree that it's not kosher. The question is, why is it not kosher? That's the whole machlokas. What makes it not kosher? What's the tam for the iser? According to Reb Lazar, it's not kosher because it's shochin im ha'orev, because of that alone, the fact that it's shochin im ha'orev alone is enough to make it not kosher. According to the Chachamim, it's not kosher because it's both shochin and nidme, meaning the metzias is that the zarzir is shochin and nidme. The question is, do you need both of those things? Reb Lazar holds it doesn't need to be nidme, just the fact that it's shochin alone is good enough, and the Chachamim say no, it needs to be both shochin and nidme. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now at the two dots. Chagavim kol sheyesh lo. So the Mishnah had also given simanim of chagavim, of what makes chagavim kosher and not kosher. So it said, anytime it has arba raglayim, arba knafayim, kartzulayim, which are jumping legs, and knuff of chofenus rubo, its wings cover the majority of it, so then it's going to be kosher. And Rabbi Yossi just adds, it also needs shmo chagav, it also needs to be called a chagav. So first, my rubo, what does it mean that its wings cover most of it? How do you define most? Some Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rov Archo, Va'amri Lo Rov Hakefo. So machlok is whether it means the wings have to cover the majority of the length of the body, or it means that the majority of the circumference of the body. Amrav Papa, Hilkach Bin and Rov Archo, Ubin and Rov Hakefo. So because we have this machlokas, we require both. That it has to cover, in order for the chagav to be kosher, it has to cover, for a grasshopper to be kosher, the wings have to cover the majority of the length of the body as well as the majority of the circumference of the body. So pashtus of Rav Papa is that it's a machlokes. One side is correct, one side is not correct. We're just not sure which one. So misafek, we require both. That this is a din of safek d'oraisa l'chumra. That's pashtus of Rav Papa. Says the Tiferes Yaakov, if that's true, what if you have the following case? What if you have cooked together in a pot three grasshoppers? One of them has wings that cover rov archo virov hakefo, so it's definitely kosher. One of them has wings that cover rov archo but not rov hakefo. And one of them has wings that cover rov hakefo and not rov archo. So what would you say? Is there bittel barov or is it not bittel barov? Well, would you say that the majority is kosher or that the majority is not kosher? So he said it would seem that if you that based on Pashup Shad and Rav Papa, one of these is definitely kosher, one of them is definitely not. We just don't know which one, so we're machmir misafek. But in the case of where you have these three, you know for sure two of them are kosher. So it should be batel barov. The rov should be kosher, and therefore they should all be kosher. But he says it sounds from the Rambam that Rav Papa, says the Tiferes Yaakov, sounds from the Lashon of the Rambam, that Rav Papa is a din vadai, not a din misafik. And therefore, when the Rambam explains Rav Papa, the way the Rambam understands Rav Papa is not that he's pasking misafik. The Rambam understands that since the Mishnah never specifically told us what rov means, and it's readable both ways, it could mean that the Mishnah means you need an absolute rov, that rov means both. And that's a vade. That's Rav Papa's third opinion, that you need rov archo virov hekefo. That's what the Mishnah really means, and that's what we're passing like. Tan Rabbanan, back in the pricing now. Tan Rabbanan, ein lo achshava asa legad alach razman. Let's say right now it doesn't have these jumping legs, but they will grow after some time. Kigona zachal, like the zachal doesn't have these, it doesn't have it at first, but then they grow. Mutter, that's mutter. Rav Lazar, Rav Yossi Omer, asher lo kra'ayim. Pasuk says asher lo kra'ayim. It's written lamed aleph, but there's a kri and a ksiv for lamed vav lo that it has. So we darshan afal pisha in malach shavas legad alach razman. If it's lamed aleph lo, then it means it doesn't have. If it's lamed vav, it means it does have. So we darshan the kri and the ksiv that it doesn't have, even though it doesn't have right now. If it will grow later on, that's good enough. My zachal, what is a zachal? Amar Abaye iskarin. It's an iskarin. Okay, if that helps. Tan Rabbanan, we have another brisa. Es eilu mehem tochlu ve'es ha'arbe. The puzzle goes through the different types of grasshoppers that you're allowed to eat. So it says es eilu mehem tochelu. So the whole puzzle is important to know the whole puzzle. Es ha'arbe lemino ve'es ha'salam leminehu. So it identifies four types of grasshoppers. After each one, it says either limino or liminehu. So you have four specifics and four liminos or liminehus. The four are, again, the arba, the arba, the salam, the chargol, and the chagav. So arba, says the first brisa, zegovai. Salam ze rashon, chargol ze nipol, chagov ze gadia. Just identifies what the four are. Matam alom limino, limineu, limineu, limineu. Why does it say dal pavim? Why does it have to keep saying limino, limineu, limineu, limineu by each one? So lahavi tziporis kramim. That comes to include tziporis kramim as a viyuchna yerushalmis varetzuvia vaharazvanis. It includes these other four types of grasshoppers. That's what the limino, limineu, limineu, limineu. It's coming as inclusions of four other specific types. That's one brisa. So that's what the Gemara is going to refer to on the top of Samuch Vav Amud Aleph as the Tana de Beirav. That this pasuk is to be understood as these four specifics plus four more specific ones that were marba with Liminehu. But now we have another brisa. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, again, darshaning the same pasuk. Debei Rabbi Shmuel learns, Elu klali klalos ve elu prate pratos. That there are some, that some of these are not, some of these Liminehus are not coming for specific other types that we're coming to include. Rather, there are more general terms to darshan as a klal prato klal. Eselu meim tochelu is a klal, es ha'arba prat limino klal. That each of them is like a klal prato klal. The only thing is there are like four klal prato klals because it has four different pratim and four limino limineus afterwards. And the Bryce will explain exactly how he darshans it. Arba zaguvai limino lahavit siparis kramin. Ein li ela habave ein lo gabachas habave yesh lo gabachas minayin. But wait a second, from that I would only know if you have such a grasshopper that does not have a bald head, but a grasshopper, because that's the tziporis kramim and the arbe both do not have a bald head. So I only know those kinds. How do I know that other kinds of grasshoppers that yesh lo gabachas are also included? Tamalom or salam. That's why it has the second specific type, zenipul. Liminehu lahaviyasu ushkaf, and then liminehu comes to include an ushkaf which also has a bald head. But even from the first two, you would only know if that it has or doesn't have gabachas, meaning does or doesn't have a bald head. But above in lo zanav, above yesh lo zanav minayin. How do I know to include even those grasshoppers that do and do not have tails? Tamalomar chargol ze rashon. That refers to a rashon which has a tail. Lemineu lahavia sakar safas vesashach lanis. And then lemineu comes and includes other types of tailed grasshoppers. So at this point we know about grasshoppers that do and do not have bald heads and do and do not have tails. How do I know that grasshoppers that do and do not have long heads are also included? Amrit Hareatadan, Binyanav, Mishlashtan. Take a look at the other three that we already included. Lori I Arba Kri Chargol, Lori Chargol Kri Arba. The Arba and the Chargol do not have all that much in common with each other. Velori Shneim Kri Salam, and they are not similar to a Salam. Velori Salam Kri Shneim, and a Salam is not similar to them. What do all three have in common? Hatzada Shavish Ben, Sheesh Ladal Reglayim, Va'arba Knafayim, V'Katsulim, Knaf Chofanas Rubo. What do all three have in common? The four identifying characteristics of a kosher grasshopper that the Mishnah mentioned. They have four legs, they have four wings, they have hopping legs, and their wings cover the majority of the body. And therefore we could darshan af kol, sheyesh lo arba raglayim, v'arba knafayim, v'katsulayim, knaf chofnes rubo, they're all included. Those are all, anything that has those four characteristics is by definition kosher. That's what the Tanna d'Beis Rabbi Shmuel holds, that it's not just four plus four other specifics. Anything that has these four simanim is automatically included. So, frekting mara valo atzar tzurazeh yesh lo abar glayim v'dal knafayim v'katzulayim knaf chofnes rubo yochli yemot. To worry about a tzartzar, which is not kosher, yet it has all these four characteristics. Tamlomer chagav sheshmo chagav. That's why I need the word chagav. That there's a fifth defining characteristic that it has to also be called a chagav. Ish, and that's the killer for us, because we could find grasshoppers that maybe have these four characteristics, but you have to have a mesorah that it's actually shmo chagav also. So the mesorah, having that mesorah, is very hard. So ishmo chagav, I mean, if it's a killer for you if you want to eat a grasshopper. Ishmo chagav yachal ein bo kol asimanim alalu. So if it's called chagav, you might think that's enough alone just to be called chagav. Tamlomer leminehu ad sheyeh bo kol asimanim alalu. That's why it says leminehu, to teach me that no, it needs these simanim as well. Parak Rav Chai. So Rav Chai asks, wait a second. There's a Tosfos at the very beginning of Ksuvos that Beis Amazing Ksuvos discusses whether when the Gemara says Parak Rav Chai, is that Rav Chai Gon? 2 days in Rishonim, that Rav Chai is Rav Chai Gon, and that's why it always has a separate lashon of Parak Rav Chai, which you don't find by other Amarim. You don't find Parak Rav, Parak Shmuel. You only find by Rav Chai. Or that, no, a lot of Amarim have their own unique lashonos. Megadiv Bar Rabbi Avo. You don't find Megadiv Bar by anybody else besides Rabbi Avo. But Rabbi Avo is definitely an Amora. Each Amora has their own language. So anyway, Parak Rav Chai, Malahanach Shkein Ein Rosh Anaruch. What about these that Ein Rosh Anaruch, that their heads aren't long? V'chi Tema Kivin Deshavu B'dalet Simanim Maisinan V'lo Parchinan. And if you're going to say, well, as long as it has the four Simanim, we don't care that it's Ein Rosh Anaruch. Ihach Ichargol Nami Deshavu Lu Lo Lichto V'tesim Yarbo V'salam. And then why does it have to even write Chargol? Why does it have to include whether it has a tail, doesn't it? Who cares? It doesn't have the four Simanim. As long as it has the four Simanim, it should have been included. Why does it have to write chargol? Because the others don't have a tail. So chargol comes to include even things that do have a tail. But say the same thing about Ein Rosh Anaruch, that it needs to write it to include things that are Rosh Anaruch. Ella Am Rav Chai Salam Yisayruhu Lalich Rachmanu Salam V'Teisim Yarba Mechargal. The word Salam is totally extra. The Mai Prach the Mal Abra Dein Lagabachas Har Chargal the Yeshal Gabachas Mal Chargal the Yeshal Zanav Har Abra Dein Lo Zanav Salam the Kasa Rachmanu Lamli. There's no characteristic that the Salam is coming to add. Imenu in the Gufo Tnei Winyan the Rosh Aruch. So Salam is coming to add that even Rosh Aruch. That's what we learn from the word Salam. Okay, stop there. Pick up tomorrow at the top.